Okay, and glad you're along tonight. Alex Jones is here. We're going to spend an hour or two with Alex, getting caught up in all kinds of business. Hello, my friend. I understand you're fighting the allergies in Austin.
Yes, but I haven't dropped like one of the many dead birds that fell from the sky early this morning, so I'm doing okay.
Now, I saw this story, and you got to tell me a little bit more. It's alleged that the police shut down 9 downtown blocks of Austin because 20 or 30 birds were found dead on the ground. I would suspect that someone thought that there was something more amiss than simply a poisoning.
But it turned out the city was doing an eradication program this week.
Eradication of what?
Of the flying rats known as pigeons.
Oh, really?
Yes. So basically, this is the Jack Bauer brainwashed public where there's no real terrorism other than illegals having 6 to 8 arrests before they're ever deported. But you know, so there's some dead birds, obviously poisoned, on the side of the street. So they panic. Two cops have kind of a psychosomatic response.
It's nerve gas. It's sarin gas or some biological warfare, right?
Yes. And so they and so they have to go to the hospital. And so basically the hysteria ensued and people kept their children home, just like there was some gas leak today.
See?
And in New York they thought it was Al-Qaeda.
Okay, now here's the perfect example, my friend. You've just laid it out beautifully. This, folks, is how easy it is to stampede Mr. and Mrs. America. Panic. We're already so full of anxiety.
Oh, yeah, land of the free, home of the brave is totally afraid of its own shadow.
You got it. And all it takes is a few dead birds. Somebody could start a rumor. The cops could say, we don't know what it is. We've got a report that some gas, some terrorist. And people will just absolutely freak out. There's no question. None. This is a perfect example. And they couldn't even figure out that there was a city eradication program underway.
These are all control mechanisms that the global controllers have put in to where they can, I mean, they've got us a bunch of hand-wringing ninnies.
Yep. No, it's true.
But it's like three Arab guys who have their regular, you know, IDs are going to work at the, you know, the ship channel and somebody freaks out. So it turns into Al-Qaeda was about to strike or, again, a gas leak in New York. The smell of rotten eggs isn't gas now. It's Al-Qaeda.
I saw that one, too. Yeah, we're on the... Well, look, we're set up as a nation, as a populace. They've got us right where they want us, and they can manipulate this any day, any hour they want. And I'm waiting for the next... we will never stop investigating 9/11. Of course, that's the Rosetta Stone of the whole deal. But there's going to be something fairly soon now that'll push a lot of that to the background, just like Oklahoma City was followed by something else, and the first World Trade Center bombing was followed by OKC. There'll be something else coming along that'll push this whole really heroic effort to investigate 9/11 to the sidelines. And
the controllers are experts. First they have the Democrats in, then it's Republicans, then it's Democrats, then it's Republicans. They change horses like the Pony Express. Now the general public in major polls believes there's some John Doe number 2 and government cover-up of Oklahoma City. Now the majority of Americans believe there's a cover-up of 9/11. So you're absolutely right. As this begins to really gain steam and codify, you'll see another big event, and it's sick.
We're
going to have to sit here and watch the killers.
Same thing.
That's the worst part, Jeff, as you know.
Oh, God.
Having to watch these cold-blooded murderers who themselves are just high-level puppets up there posing as our saviors. It's disgusting.
It is utterly disgusting. And, well, it's beyond words is what it is. But you just put your finger on it again. The Democrats, we talked about the last time you were on.
Hate crimes bill is going to be here.
Yep.
Total open borders is going to be here.
Have you seen? Let me ask all of you out there. Congress has been sworn in now for what? This is the beginning of their second week. How many laws, how many bills have been introduced to cut off funding for the war?
Zero.
To repeal the Patriot Act?
Zero.
Okay, I could go on 30 things. Not, and I predicted this, so did you, that these scumbag phonies are not going to introduce anything with any teeth, anything with any meaning or substance whatsoever. It's the same old crap. They want it both ways. The Democrats in Congress always try to have it both ways so they can avoid having to take a stand, a serious stand, on any of the issues that matter. They're not going to do anything, folks. We've been telling you that. Now watch. Nothing is going to change.
All they'll do is have some hearings and whine about the war.
And they won't even have subpoenas. They'll have hearings. There's a difference. They won't subpoena anyone.
Well, hell, most of the Democratic leaders are warmongering to strike Iran.
Yeah, I know.
So Pelosi, you know, they got people shutting down their press conferences. So they'll throw the dog a bone. But, you know, in the final equation, it'll be go ahead and attack Iran, Mr. Fuhrer.
Where's the heroic congressman or woman, just one of them, that will introduce a bill abolishing, reversing, nullifying the unconstitutional Patriot Act? Where's one? Just give me one. It'll die in committee if it ever even gets to
committee. Ron Paul's introduced legislation.
I haven't heard about it. I believe.
Well, no, I mean in past sessions he has. I don't know if he has yet.
Well, let's see. I mean, this would have been the first damn thing on the docket, as far as I'm concerned. But
well,
the media's got
a way of ignoring good legislation.
Well, we hear about it. If it's there, we'll hear about it. But you said it all, and I'm sure you've had Ted Pike on your program, or the hate law. It will be introduced again, and this time there's a damn good chance it'll pass unless
well, they've got
we
a new one against
it.
Bullying.
This is, folks, now listen to Alex. This is elementary school. This is little children, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. Go ahead.
And now it's not just racial or dirty words. Now anything that anyone says
that makes you unhappy or hurt your feelings.
Yes, now you're going to get in the hooskow.
Federal law. Federal. That's what they
federal,
want.
Federal, yeah.
So a 6-year-old federal felon. Imagine that. Your little girl or your little boy comes home.
Well, they know they can do it with these captive audiences, but see, now they're getting creative. It's not a hate law because we've exposed that term, so now it's a anti-bullying law.
But this is for our children.
You're not for bullies, are you?
No, we've got to stop bullying.
And the truth is, it's so the state can get their mitts on your child.
But it is. It's truly amazing. And it we ain't seen nothing yet, folks. They're just getting warmed up. These phony Democrats are gonna screw this country every bit as bad as the Republic, maybe worse. If they pass that hate law and the village idiot signs it, it's over. That's the end of it. And this country will drown in litigation. Everyone will sue everyone. Every minority group or special interest group or vested interest group will begin to bring federal lawsuits against anyone they dislike. You hurt my feelings. You've made me feel like
the lawyers love.
Oh, God, they're going to have a fest. Total fest.
Did you see that report last week where in different parts of the country they're banning running or ice skating at parks?
No.
Because people sued government parks? I mean, basically, they love it. They just ban everything. just ban everything.
Oh, man. All right, so again, I want all of you to watch on January 3rd and 4th. Most of the Congress took their oaths of office, and here we are. It's the 9th tomorrow.
Well, they didn't even have Congress in today to hail the Rose Bowl or whatever. So because they're having some big championship football, we can't even have Congress in session, which I guess in a way is a blessing. They're busy watching the Roman game. Rather than legislating, but
sure.
Jeff, more and more, it just gets to the point where my head spins. I mean, this is so obvious. How could this is a pure pedigree of tyranny?
It's at the very least a soft dictatorship. Bush says, "I'm going to open your mail. You have no privacy. We'll just open your mail. Try and stop us."
It's to stop Al Qaeda.
That's right. What one of you out there can name one event that has truly been tied to what they call Al Qaeda? Can you?
Well, look, governments start reading mail not to even find out what you're doing, but they tell you to intimidate communications.
Sure it is.
So this is all a desperate...
You're afraid to write on the internet. You just got to be careful. You try to use code words in your emails to your friends, and you don't want to write 9/11 in there because you know you get flagged. Folks, you're flagged anyway. It's over. And for all of you who are afraid of getting on lists, that time came and went years ago. You're all on lists. Every one of you. 24/7. You're being monitored. They're building dossiers on supercomputers underground in Australia and probably several places in the Northern
Hemisphere. And I say good. Let them.
Let them.
I want them to know I'm one of the good people, not part of all their evil. I wanted to be on record that I haven't been involved in all this garbage.
Amen. We'll be right back with Alex, who's fighting some serious allergies, and we really are... grateful he's here. Everybody in Austin apparently has allergies. The rest of the country's suffering from fits of fear and anxiety, which is what they want. Hang on. Be right back. Can't be right here. Let me figure this out. That's hundreds, thousands, millions. It is. If your ladies and gentlemen in Congress who are representing you so well and so diligently, and yes, we will say it again, we always do, there are some good people in Congress. But the majority, it's another story. If those people pass the amnesty legislation, that's McCain-Kennedy, isn't it? 30 million Mexicans. Let's assume there are 30 million Mexicans in this country, illegal. Now, they're illegals from over 70 different countries. That everybody knows the vast majority are Latin American. Mexican, Honduras, it doesn't matter. Central America, go down to South America. Most of them are Latinos from the equator north. 30 million, if they're given amnesty, each one of those people, anchor babies included, will be allowed to bring in up to 100 members of their extended family into the United States. Now, if my old calculator is right, 30 million times 100, this can't be right. 3 billion?
Well, that's the logical extension of what they could bring in, but there's only... what, 400 million down there, so...
Right. We'll depopulate...
Actually, it's about 500 million.
We'll depopulate South and Central America, and then Americans of European extraction can go down there and buy it up and
well,
start over
again.
Well,
here's the deal. The ship's already capsizing, and so there are at least 30 million illegal aliens here, conservatively. But in a way, the country's been so destroyed... that it's already unraveling and the dollar's already plunging.
It is.
But illegal aliens, it'll still be better than their country. They're used to blown out currencies, so that'll just,
no, it doesn't bother
once
them
it
at all.
Capsizes, they'll just scrabble up
they'll
the side
up,
and
that's right.
You know,
they'll scrabble in here, they'll cadge whatever they can from what's left of the economy, and they'll, you know what's going to happen, and no one's thinking about this, well, no one, very few, the infrastructure of this country, the roads, the bridges, the sewage treatment plant, they're all in need of repair for the most part. There are a few exceptions.
Hey, listen, in East Austin, in areas that used to be nice 10 years ago, you drive through, there's sides of beef hanging up and chickens running across the streets.
There you go.
It's already unraveling and degenerating.
Third world.
They have a thing here in Texas where it's a whole initiative where they're trying to make the schools teach primary courses in Spanish first.
Oh,
hell,
first.
Man, they're taking pesos at major pizza chains here.
That was
Dallas Morning News, Patron's Pizza.
I had it yesterday. No, it was another. It was Patron's. Okay,
there's one a half mile from me, yeah.
Yeah.
But
they're taking pesos. Now, does that make sense to you folks out there? Do you hear it? I had another call this morning that I made, and the first option that I was given, if you'd like to continue in English, press 1. Every company that puts that kind of crap on their answer machine should be told that you're pulling your business from them. Well, it should be, but you know how Americans are. They just grumble a little bit and push 1 or 2, whatever.
Yeah, well, now, in an initiative, and I'm kind of dingy tonight, but I have the actual printout from the state of Texas. The teachers are being told, if you can't speak Spanish, you're fired, and we're going to teach core curriculum
in Spanish.
Español.
That's cute. Isn't that nice? Isn't that
well,
nice,
there's nothing. I mean, there's nothing we won't take. I mean, listen, it's like the Border Patrol doesn't have ammo. The National Guard, because the governor in Utah didn't give them ammo, and so they're running hightailing it from the Mexicans. Land of the cowards, home of the slaves.
That's exactly right. Wage slaves, political slaves, social slaves, debt slaves. What's the average American now? Almost 11,000 in debt.
We have a higher debt ratio since the middle of last year.
No savings
than at the depths of the Depression in 1933.
Yeah.
Hasn't globalism just been wonderful?
Well, NAFTA was our salvation. Remember all that? NAFTA. Going to make everything great.
Well, hey, if you think NAFTA's great, wait for the amnesty, which isn't an amnesty. You know, I've been watching CNN and Fox and listening to Neocons.
Another one of those semantic tricks.
They acted so... Exactly. I mean, I'm somewhat informed on this, and I get confused because they'll have two people fighting with each other, and they're both pushing... for the amnesty plan, but one of them is calling it a guest worker, and the other Democrat saying it doesn't go far enough, and so we got to fix the border, and that's why we need this guest worker program. And, you know, tonight both sides are on the same side.
Always have been greatest con, I think, in modern political history in this country.
It's controlling both sides and giving the illusion of choice.
The illusion of choice for the deluded American public, soon to be denuded of all their well-being.
But I got to tell you, Jeff, I say that too, deluded. I don't think they are anymore. I think they're really, they don't know all the facts, or they don't get the full horror.
No, they're intuitively wise, but what are they going to do? You know, that's the thing. What do I do? Can't vote anymore. That's all BS. We know that. It's all fixed. So what do they do? All right. You know what you do, folks? What we've always told you, stay informed as you possibly can, and you help those who really want to know, and you steer them in the right direction, and somehow, some way, you've got to wade through all the noise and disinformation on the Internet, which is coming down in torrents now. They couldn't shut it down, so they're diluting the Internet so badly with crap that it makes it daunting.
It's like background noise.
That's what it is. Back in a minute. Meanwhile, the melodrama, the deadly melodrama being orchestrated by the lunatics and, they're not that, I shouldn't say that. The front line are pretty grim. Condi Rice, who, by the way, now has basically been marginalized, her number two, Mr. Negroponte is actually going to be pulling her strings, but, you know, she's a failure. The death and destruction isn't slowing down any. Bush's surge is under tremendous attack. He had to put the Navy in charge of the whole theater over there. The new general he's put in there, of course, says, we need this. But the reality of it, if you read Terrell Arnold's piece at Rents.com, is that we need at least another 100,000 American troops to really pacify Baghdad. But in the meantime, since we last spoke, the murder of the duly elected president of a formerly sovereign nation was, of course, pushed all around the world, and is supposedly now his top assistants are going to be hung this week and so forth. It just goes on and on. Israel, of course, is demanding, screaming. And I guess it was at the London Times that leaked the story, allegedly, of a plan. It might have been a trial balloon
But Cy Hirsch reported that a year ago.
He did, a long time ago. But the Times came out with it again, that Israel is going to use nuclear weapons against Iran.
Setting the precedent to use nuclear weapons, but going back to the surge, the original plan was to break Iraq in three pieces, have sectarian war, have every excuse to keep troops there indefinitely, to project power into the region and to stir up civil war in Syria and Iran.
Well, the new general says we're going to be there for at least three more years.
And then notice it's always three more.
Of course.
Three more. And so Bush's surge is simply an attempt. I mean, it's kind of like they were baking a cake. You know, they meant for all this to happen, but they kind of burned it. You know, they have destabilized it so badly that they are even losing large parts of Baghdad. So this so-called surge is just an attempt to hold on to Baghdad itself. And then meanwhile, the crazy Likudniks running much of our foreign policy and Pentagon, as you were just saying, are openly talking about nuking Iran and how they've got all these bunker busters from the U.S. I mean, it's just from bad to worse. It's like shades of Hitler turning east or Napoleon turning east. And, I mean, really, it's a Ponzi scheme. They fried the economy. They've brought in this police state. And they know they're now getting caught with their hand in the cookie jar. So their answer is just escalated a whole other level. But I really think, Jeff, for them to go ahead and attack Iran with nukes, they're going to need some type of false flag. The question is, will they stage an attack right before it or right after it, claiming Iran retaliated? Good or question. Could you even blame Iran for retaliating?
Well, call me naive. I still can't fathom what Putin and Russia are going to do on this. Are they going to sit back and watch? Did they cut a backroom deal? Are the Chinese going to sit back? Did they say, listen, I don't care what you do, just make sure we get that oil and gas that we've signed up for? I don't understand the position. I don't think anyone will until something happens here. Will Israel go ahead in the face of Russia, which may be saying you better not do that? I don't know, because the biggest war on the planet right now is the war between Russian nationalist, KGB for life, President Vladimir Putin against the Rothschild oligarchs. And there are eight of them. One of them is in prison now, Mikhail Khodorkovsky. Of course, when Putin went against the Rothschilds and jailed Khodorkovsky, the head of Yukos Oil, I think they were number two oil in Russia, maybe he was number one, put him on trial and then eventually sentenced him. He's in prison right now. The first thing that happened when he was arrested, and nobody noticed this, it was one little story. I saw it.
But I saw it. I think it was Reuters that
you saw
they sent Ariel Sharon up there.
He went right up there so fast he didn't have his shoes tied. He flew to Moscow, obviously, to talk to Putin, to say, listen, we can't do that. Let Khodorkovsky out. You can't do that. And Putin basically told him to go home. That's what we surmise happened, because Khodorkovsky didn't get out. He was sentenced to prison. Of course, his staff fled. They got dual citizenship. They're in Israel now, living high on the hog. Meanwhile, the exiled media oligarch, Berezovsky, Boris, first name, is living under the care of the Rothschilds, has full citizenship now
in London.
In London. It's said that he stole up to $1 trillion from Russia. And so that's your big war. Litvinenko's murder, the Scaramella thing, and all the intrigue therein is certainly a part and parcel of it. But the big war, and make no mistake about it, is between Russia's Putin and the Zionists of the Rothschilds. Now remember, Berezovsky called himself the godfather of the Chechen rebellion, which caused Russia all kinds of terrible grief and so forth. So that's the war, folks, and make no mistake about it. It's Zionism versus Russia. And the prize is Mother Russia, and perhaps all the oil that any country could ever want to export for the next 100 years, and then some. So that's the big game. You remember that. What will Putin do when hundreds of Russian scientists and technicians are liquidated by that, as the French say, that crummy little country in the Middle East, which is the fifth-ranking thermonuclear power on the planet? What will Russia do? What can the Iranians do? And if there is a retaliatory strike by Iran, could easily be false flag.
Well,
that's what you just raised.
The British, the Israelis, and the U.S. want. They want to escalate this into that. They want to suck Russia and others into it.
Of course. And the remember the Israeli defense minister saying it is absolutely mandatory that Iran. So what if Iran has nuclear weapons? 3, 4, 5 of them.
Yeah,
what are they going to do with them?
Pakistan's got 20 plus.
Yeah, what are they going to do with
delivery systems. They're not worried about that.
Okay, well, what are they going to do with it? Now, the Iranians are going to nuke Tel Aviv, right? They're going to throw one of their bombs down there. What happens to Iran? It glows green for the next million years, the whole thing, end to end. And they're going to do that. No, they're not going to use weapons.
Well, so Iran's got to know that the end game, period, and any other sovereign nation, the globalists are going to stage terror attacks, and they're going to blame it on them. And I don't put it past any of the real axis of evil, the global crime syndicate, the triangle between the U.S., Britain, and Israel, staging terror attacks and nuking a U.S. city, or maybe even setting off a low-yield nuke in Tel Aviv.
Dirty bomb here, that's all it would take. And then 9/11 is history. I mean, literally, it'll be taken over by...
And they'll have a patsy instantly saying, I'm Iranian and I planted it. And boy, you know it's true.
Well, they'll find a suitcase full of Qurans with all the Iranian conspirators listed in there and their motives. Remember that? They'll find it in the back of a rental truck somewhere. You'll see. Americans will be expected to swallow another dose of that crap. Okay, and I go back to what I've always said. If, in point of fact, there were Muslim hijackers who hijacked those airplanes and they hated America and wanted to do as much damage as they possibly could to this country, why the heck would they fly them into the World Trade Center? They'd go for the nearest nuclear power plants that they could hit, and they'd wipe out the Northeast forever. That's damage. That would have been a real terror attack. And, you know, anyway. Okay, hold on. Be right back in a couple. Okay, back with all of you good people. Alex Jones is here tonight for an hour to kind of get caught up. What are your callers telling you, Alex, about the that bungled, hideous murder of Saddam Hussein, the execution? What's the pulse out there?
Well, a lot of people that have studied the neocons believe it was done in a Machiavellian way, so as to inflame sectarian violence between the Shia and the Sunnis, which has been their goal continually to really spread discontent throughout the region, but that there was a lot of taunting involved, if it really was Saddam, and most people think it probably was, that there was so much taunting involved, they were trying to get him to blow up and have a big scene, but that he did go to the gallows in such a dignified way that it has blown up in their face in many respects. But, you know, I say, was it Saddam? People get confused. They see the more effeminate-looking Saddam, it's clearly a double, wearing the glasses, who was on so many of the TV broadcasts right before and during the invasion.
Right.
And then they compare that to this Saddam, and they think, oh, the old one was the real one. The new one found in the spider hole isn't Saddam. But I've compared the guy found in the spider hole with older films of Saddam, and when he's skinnier, And it does look just like Saddam Hussein, plus the same presence, the fire in the eye we saw.
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly...
No, I agree with you. I completely agree. By the way, when he came out of that hole, he had been heavily hit with some kind of drugs. It was obvious. He didn't know where he was.
Well, it later came out in British papers, as you know, Jeff. You know, we all reported that Marine Corps general's on tape on CNN, you know, going, listen, we found him in the hole. Do you understand? That's where he was. He was in that hole. Nowhere else. That's all you say. Well, then it came out that the Kurds had captured him 3 weeks before, beat him up, a bunch of other stuff, and had stuck him in that hole. Well, I mean, it's just like Jessica Lynch and what she later would admitted was a fable. Jerry Bruckheimer, the Hollywood producer, got called. 3 days later, they have the, quote, extraction of Jessica Lynch and others from the hospital. Mm-hmm. The Iraqi Republican Guard had left the area, and the doctors had left the hospital, come to our troops and said, we've got some of your bodies and some of your people. Please come get them. We're on your side. And our troops were told, hold back, while they scripted how to kick down the doors and how to go in and, quote, save her.
Photo op.
It was a, but now it's admitted to be a photo op. Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah.
It's despicable.
It is, totally. The thing with Saddam, and I do believe it was unquestionably Saddam who was executed, is that when he came out of that hole, and I've said this before, and he was allegedly living in this hole, and I knew the story was BS from the beginning. You look at his hair. His hair was perfect, colored, no gray hair, gray beard, no gray hair, not one gray hair to be seen. And right up to the end, they were still allowing him to color his hair, which I guess you don't take everyone's total dignity away when you're going to murder them. Well, at least in this case, they didn't. They wanted him to look enough like Saddam so people, I guess, would say, yeah, that was him, a dark hair. But he's gone. He's a martyr now. Libya, of course, is building a big statue of him, and there'll be others. I wonder if they wanted to play this martyr role, if that was part of their game, or it got completely out of hand. I know they expected some reaction, but I think you got it pretty well figured out, just to inflame and incite Shia, Sunni.
Well, and not just the Arab audience, and not just the Muslim audience, I think to everybody, the guys in black mask like hyenas stalking around the lion, he's bigger than them, and they're freaking out and emotionally getting upset by the murder they're about to commit. Yeah. They're acting like, you said, you're not acting like men, and he just, I mean, it's hard to go to your death.
No, he blew him away.
He blew him away in death. He did a great job.
He came through. I still don't understand the one angle that we've talked about before. Now, here's Saddam Hussein, who had certainly written a couple novels. He was a bright man, a decent writer, who knew more about the Bush family corruption, Rumsfeld, the CIA.
They put a 20-minute delay on his trial, a 20-minute delay on the TV, and they would kick everybody out over and over again, and he supposedly did try to bring all that up, but it was heavily excised. Remember when he... Right before the war, he gave out thousands of pages of documents on weapons programs, and the UN I think it was in Saudi Arabia.
It was a huge stack of papers.
Yeah, there. Got raided by armed U.S. troops, ran into the UN and said, commandos.
It took them.
Took them at gunpoint and went back on helicopters and flew away. And those were the documents that showed the U.S. had sold it all to him. But I'm sorry, I jump ahead. You were going to say, why hasn't he?
No, that's a crucial point. And I had forgotten about it until you mentioned it. But that was at the time recognized by you, and I remember recognizing it as being obviously damage control. They didn't want anything out there. But you think that he would have made those papers or something, put them on some other storage medium and gotten them into the hands of other people outside the country. You'd think.
Well, a lot of it is, I mean, he was an insider. He was trained by the CIA in the late 50s. This is admitted. I mean, again, this is not Jeff and Alex just saying this. It's admitted. And he, you know, kept thinking to the end he might be able to make a deal or something. But then it came out, remember about a month before, they said, okay, Saddam, flee, and we'll let you go. But then it came out they had spies and satellites and jets in the air. They were going to shoot him down the minute he took off.
He knew. He's smart enough to know that. Yeah, and a trial. This is a trial. The judge is removed after saying Saddam Hussein is not a dictator. Three of his attorneys are murdered during the trial.
And like three of their aides, too.
Yeah. 20-minute embargo on anything coming out. It's one of the another dark black chapter in modern American neocon dominated history.
Well, this is why it's wrong. Saddam wasn't perfect, and by our standards, he was a thug. But compared to everybody else in the region and the other puppets the globalists have, he was an angel.
You got it.
And his problem was he did try to build a first world nation. Just like Slobodan
Milosevic. Westernized, the most liberal country in the Muslim world.
Just like Slobo.
Yeah.
Same thing with Serbia. They do not want sovereign, independent nations. They do not want free peoples. And so they set him up to go in against Iran. They set him up to go in against Kuwait. And we used to have 25 million Iraqis. Now we have 22 million Iraqis. We're committing genocide, and by we're, even though we're just being drug along to the fight, still, we could put a stop to it if enough Americans really took action. And, Jeff, I want to commend you and your listeners for fighting against this. You know, people are waking up, but as you said earlier, they've taken the levers away from us, so we're awake, but it's kind of like being awake tied into the front seat of a bus as it goes off a cliff.
That's a pretty good image. I agree. There's a lot of frustration out there. I don't run across anybody anymore who doesn't at least have an idea that something's wrong. There are some diehards who think, you know, buy into the probably 25% of the population, maybe 30.
Yeah, it's about 25, but even that's eroding.
Yeah. Yeah. But how do these people who are literally now going to try to figure things out wade through the crap on the internet? I've never seen more trash on the internet. My life.
They're dumping every facet and every known configuration of disinfo onto the web right now, not just against you and I, but against, really, it's just background noise. It's just a bunch of static. I mean, it's like they're broadcasting static over our channels. But still,
well, it's like being in a car at 65 miles an hour, the windows down. It's the noise. It's just noise. How do you concentrate? It's hard. It's just not white noise. It's noise. And you're right. And they do attack Alex and I. And you got these bizarre, incredible tangents that are spun off of legitimate research and put out there as the real truth. And it just goes on and on. It's hard, folks. PrisonPlanet.com. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, Rents.com. You can find all the relevant news to speak of at those four locations.
And, Jeff, I can't wait to be here for a full 2 hours coming up, on the 22nd. I apologize for...
No problem.
Literally, I don't even really feel bad. I just feel brain dead. You know, you've got like this... Well, you said it when I was talking to you during a break. It's like I have a fog.
A brain fog.
Yeah, it's a brain fog. I'm like sailing around in a fog here, and it's my, you know, my mouth's numb, my nose is numb, I got an earache, so I apologize for, you know, this is not very good Alex Jones here, but I shall return in 2 weeks.
Fine. Not to worry. Are you working on another film, by the way?
Yes, in fact, I was working on it earlier today, and then I'm going to be working on it probably when I get off here, and it's about the global government. It's about the Bilderberg Group, the CFR. It's about their agenda. And I think it's going to be my best film. I mean, Terror Storm is pretty darn good. And it's available at Infowars.com or free at Google Video. But this one is about their total agenda. And I hope to, you know, each film I make it better than the last. And
No one has assayed it and nailed it any better. No, it can't be done. So I look forward to this. This is going to be good. And this underscores what we said before. Folks, it's out there. The truth is out there. It's right there on the internet. You don't really have to look far for it if you know where to look. And the four websites I mentioned will have all you need to find. And you're going to lose friends over some of this, but try to judiciously spend your time. And when you hear that mental door slam shut, just say, hey, have a great day, thanks. And all you can do for people.
Well, exactly. A lot of people get bummed out that somebody laughs at them or says buzz off. No, they've let you know that they want to buy into the matrix, the fraud. hey, you know, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Move on to people that do care, that are open, and that's who you want to know anyways. Who wants to have a relationship in any way with one of these androids? Hey, Jeff, thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. Always happy, my friend. Go get well, get some rest, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, good night. Alex Jones, and he'll be back in 2 weeks. And we're going to pause and come right back with the amazing redhead, great American patriot, D.V. Kidd, next.